Well, bless my soul, but what's wrong with me? I'm itching like a man on a fuzzy tree. My friends say I'm acting wild as a bug. I'm in love, I'm all shook up. Ooh, ooh, yeah, yeah.
Good morning. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable, and this is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg, just in time for the Garden Line and a little Elvis Presley and Mike Wiggins.
Well, but happy birthday to the king.
How about that?
Exactly. Sometime last week, I'm not sure which day, but boy, it brings back all kind of memories, all the music that we all enjoy.
The catalog of music that he had. I mean, I say to myself, I'm not a big Elvis Presley fan. And then this morning, as we were looking, I thought, oh, I like that song. I like Jailhouse Rock. I thought, well, maybe you are more than you realize.
I mean,
it's just part of our culture, right?
Exactly. I hate to say it. It's part of our age.
I'm not going there.
You could not be. I should say that. Part of my age.
I'm not that far behind you, buddy. It's okay. So
anyway, tell me how you're doing.
I'm pretty good. And speaking of age, I got a birthday coming up this week, so I'm sitting here going,
oh, do you? Happy birthday.
Well, you know, you're at that point where I'm grateful to be here, but at the same time, the numbers are getting kind of scary. You know, that feeling where, really? As I do not feel my age. I'm just telling you right now.
And I'm the same way.
Because you're not. I mean, I think we're both very young at heart.
Well, that's
very
nice.
Energetic,
that's right.
People, right?
We're that's right.
Very, I don't see us as being OLD.
Well, what did the guy tell me the other day? I think I've mentioned this before. I was having a little foot problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I told some guy I was walking with, a good friend of mine, I said, you know what? I'm walking like an 80-year-old man.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what he told me?
Uh-oh.
He said, Mike, you are an 80-year-old man.
No.
I said, I keep forgetting that.
Well, someone said to me the other day, but you look so much younger than you are. And I said, and I went, can you quote how much? How many years exactly?
Exactly.
I feel about 29, but okay.
Hey, boy. Well, we keep plugging on here.
Well, we are younger than those that went before us, don't you think? Like my parents, when they were my age, seemed ancient. They sat on the couch. They weren't as active as we are.
I think so.
I mean, I think it is a little different.
It is a little different.
And those coming up behind us are probably going to be even more youthful at our age now, right?
Nah, I'm not going to give them that.
I'm trying to justify.
I know you are. That's okay. That's cool.
All right.
Where are we here?
Garden line.
Talk
about gardening. We had a warm spell last week. Now, hello, we're back to that cold weather. This must be terrible on the plants.
Well, it's not really, in my opinion. I think the Pensacola weather here in Zone 8, 9, whichever you want to call it, is very interesting because so many of our plants and our turf, our landscaping, really like the cold weather. They like the dormant period.
Mm-hmm.
So for lack of a better word, this is not very scientific, they can kind of rejuvenate and come back strong in the spring. So I'm not so sure that our plants are suffering from it. Now, here we are this week. We're going to be close to freezing, maybe mid-30s.
North of here, probably in the 20s.
Yeah, it could be. But you get down into the teens, then nobody likes it, mm-hmm. whether you're a human or a plant.
Right, exactly.
Nobody likes that. But I don't think this weather's that bad. And it's not going to be long. You got to remember, this is middle of January,
mm-hmm.
and we get into March. You know, we'll be headed into spring.
We're done. I like having this couple of weeks where I can at least get the sweaters out for a little while.
That's exactly right. But you know, it's sometimes you kind of get tired of, okay, I'm getting up. I got to put on jeans. I got to put on a sweater. Mm-hmm. I got to put on socks.
We're so bad. Where's my flip-flops and shorts?
Exactly. I just want to throw on a pair of shorts and, you know, go out and take a walk.
Well, I mean, is it cold enough now that we should be covering our plants? Because this is that weird in-between. We're not quite freezing.
This is close.
But
this is close.
What do you think?
I would hope that you would not have to do that with the weather that looks like it's coming. Because we are going to get a little cooler in, I want to say, Thursday.
This week. Well, my neighbor, I have to laugh because I have plants outside and so does my neighbor. So we both pulled our plants in a couple days ago.
Smart.
The potted plants.
That's smart. Yeah. Absolutely. But as far as covering the plants, you just have to always worry that they've made a mistake. Mm. You know, they say, okay, it's going to be 33, 34. Oops.
Yes, 18.
It's 27. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So it's valuable plants, mm-hmm. Plants, maybe even tropical plants that you're trying to save. Mine have had it. Mm. They just have had it. And it's so sad.
Yeah.
So sad that the Mandevilla and even the Crotons are showing effects. When a Croton, my Croton is one of my favorite plants for the summer, having it in a big pot. Whenever it loses one leaf, you know it's over.
Really?
And it just starts losing all of them.
Huh.
And it's hard to bring it back. Some people have a lot of luck protecting their tropicals, covering them, doing what they have to do. Not me. It's hard to give them up, especially the hibiscus, which were so pretty mm-hmm. this summer. But no. Time to start over.
Oh, gosh.
Time to start over. We try good friends at Pensacola Seed and Garden and Bailey's and Werner's, and those guys get their spring stock in. Then you'll get fired up and get some new plants, put them in the pot, and start all over.
Here we go again.
There you go.
Well, this is The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. So if you have a question or a comment about your gardening, about plants, maybe you're thinking about getting started, maybe you've already been gardener extraordinaire. I know we have regulars on the show that text in all the time. Text us at 850-437-1620. Mike will be here till 10, so it's plenty of time to get to your questions and come up with some solutions and ideas and information. He has a plethora of knowledge about gardening.
Really?
Yes, you do. I keep telling him he needs to write a book.
No, you need to
write a book. I'm telling you.
Well, let me tell you what. Well, a couple things. One more thing about the cold and about our seasons. You just don't want to neglect your watering. If you've got even some plants in some containers that are not tropical,
mm-hmm.
Don't forget to water them. Watering plants kind of gets out of sight, out of mind this time of year. We're not outside that much, but don't forget to do that. Lord, I would, quite frankly, if you haven't run the sprinkler system and it doesn't rain, say by the next weekend, I'd run it.
Really? In the cold?
Even in the cold. Absolutely. I think that those roots are still active.
Mm-hmm.
So it certainly is not going to hurt anything, and I think it just might help. So keep that in mind. Keep in mind your watering. I think it'll help. I think it'll make things healthier.
No okay.
Well, here's what we need to talk about today.
Okay.
If we have time. I would love to hear some texts today, see what people have on their mind. But it's rose time, and it's also deciduous tree planting time.
Oh.
Choosing your trees, which one is best for you. You need to get it in the ground now. While it has no leaves on it, it's deciduous, and that's the best time to plant because it doesn't go through a shock. And for roses, a lot of people, and we're going to talk about this maybe in a little more detail, are used to wait for the rose catalog to come in.
Oh.
Jackson and Perkins and Weeks roses were known nationwide, and people would get that catalog and order
really?
And order their roses. Get a mail order.
When does that come out?
Well, they don't come out anymore.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
That's the problem. We were going to talk about that, but we can start right now. When we get back from the break, the rose industry has really changed. And for one major reason, knockout roses.
Oh.
They're so easy.
Mm-hmm.
And the traditional roses do take a lot of effort, and we need to talk about that a little bit more as to how that all occurred, because there's this guy who developed the knockout roses back in the year 2000, so they're not that old, and has totally changed the rose industry. There are a lot of rose companies that have gone bankrupt.
Interesting, because of that.
Well, because of that, and also some of the people who write will say, well, it's because we now want no iron shirts, no wax floors.
Right. The easy way. Yeah.
Go the easy way. Nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
But the easy way with roses is the knockout roses, and they are absolutely gorgeous. This year they have been beautiful. So we'll talk about a little bit about that.
Okay, well, we're going to be back right after the break with Mike Wiggins in the Garden Line. Got a question or comment? 850-437-1620. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. Welcome to the Garden Line on Pep Talk on Tuesday morning. Mike Wiggins is here to answer all your gardening questions. Got lots of text coming in, Mike.
Oh,
so we were talking about knockout roses right before the break. So someone texted in, Kim texted in, I don't want knockouts. They all look the same, and they lack the great fragrance of a rose that the rose is supposed to have.
You know, that is so interesting we would get that text, because there's some literature that I've read with that exact same discussion of knockout roses. Single petal rose, they just are prolific. They bloom. They're really beautiful. But they quoted a guy at a garden center one time who was showing a customer roses and showed him a knockout rose because he was going to buy some roses. And the guy looked at it and said, that's not a rose.
Oh,
that's not a rose. That's not a hybrid tea or a floribunda, some of the traditional roses. It's not a rose. Now, it's beautiful, and it's prolific, and it's, I hate to say it, it's kind of bulletproof because it just doesn't take a lot of maintenance. But is it what you want if you want to really get into the rose business? I always say, if you're going to plant roses, you got to have a knockout rose because you just need to have one at least because they're so pretty. But if you're going to kind of get into the rose planting, don't overdo it. Don't overdo it. Buy you three, maybe four roses. Buy a hybrid tea. Buy a floribunda. Put them in the full sun to see if you like doing it. Because a lot of people, once they get the roses, they find out, you know, this is a little bit more work than I planned on. You've got some diseases, you've got some insects, you've got a lot of fertilization, you've got pruning, you've got things that you need to do to roses. Well worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Well worth it. Some people in Pensacola are amazing rose growers. They really are. But if that's not your cup of tea, plant you some knockouts and go about
Enjoy.
Your business. Enjoy. Exactly. So it really is kind of an interesting discussion. That's a great text about the knockout rose.
Okay, well, we've got lots of texts coming in this morning to the Garden Line, 850-437-1620. This cracks me up. Mike and team. I guess that's a reference to our research department.
Well, I'm sure that
I'm
is.
Part of the team.
I don't think they've woken. I think they're still asleep.
They might be. Wake up, guys, back there. Okay.
Exactly.
Mike and team, I have a dilemma. My plan was to move my fig tree while dormant and put my potted lime and lemon trees in the ground while semi-dormant. My fig is sprouting leaves, and my citrus are in full bloom, putting on fruit. Any thoughts? And that's from our friend Steve on Escambia
Bay. Okay, now, let me be sure I understand what Steve is saying.
He wanted to move them.
He wants to move the fig tree because it's dormant, and that's a good idea.
And he wanted to put the potted lime and lemon trees in the ground while semi-dormant.
Right.
But they're sprouting. The fig's sprouting, and the citrus are in full bloom.
A couple of comments. Number one, here, middle of January, if I have a citrus tree, even if it's one that is relatively cold hardy, I wouldn't plant it yet. I would wait. Let's get through February at least to, you know, just in case we really, really got into the teens, even the low teens. So that way, just save them because they could get sapped if we had a really, really cold spell. On the fig tree, yes, he's right. It'll go dormant, and this would be a time to move it. But, Meg, you know, an interesting thing about the fig tree is that the old timers, I am an old timer. Wait a minute.
Back to the original discussion.
Here we go again. No, we're not going to go there.
No, we're not.
But they used to say that you wanted to plant a fig tree where the roots are underneath a structure.
Oh.
In other words, if you have a garage or a storage shed or what, that fig trees do better when their roots are shaded.
Interesting.
That is interesting. Now, that may be an old farmer's almanac legend. I don't know.
Maybe worth a try.
Why not? Because figs are so much fun. If you don't mind, they're very prolific. The one you want to plant in Pensacola is one called Brown Turkey Fig. That's right. Brown turkey. That's a basic. That's the one you want to plant.
Okay.
It will produce figs like nobody's business, but you've got to learn to share.
The birds love
the
figs.
The birds love them.
So I had a fig tree in my yard. The birds love figs.
The birds love them. But if you're willing to share, a fig tree is a great tree to plant. Yeah. But
okay.
keep in mind that root situation. I would love to hear if anybody else has ever heard that, but that's who knows?
Okay.
Urban legend. I don't know.
Well, we've got more texts coming in, so we'll try to get to them all. Paul, our good friend Paul's listening from Blue Sky Landscaping, and we were talking about roses, and he says, the main issue with roses is overwatering. Roses do not like wet feet or wet leaves.
Absolutely.
Interesting.
I totally agree, especially the watering, whereas you kind of water them around the bottom. You don't want your sprinkler system to get on the rose leaves, because what you'll do, you'll get powdery mildew, black spots. Those are the two real problems with roses. Those are two diseases, and you've got to treat them. A lot of people just keep a can of rose dust, if they're going to grow roses, sprinkle it on the leaves, because that will help inhibit or stop the black spots and the mildew that these roses are getting. Paul's right on target. As usual.
Okay, we've got a totally different subject here, different text coming in from one of our listeners. It says, we bought a blueberry bush at a local garden center. There are two large base stems. One is a blueberry, very few leaves left, definitely in the dormant state. The other stem is green, full of leaves, and back in the fall had fluffy seed heads. Is this spurge? Do we go ahead and separate it now or in the spring?
Spurge.
S-P-U-R-G-E?
Yeah, as I interpret that as being, quite frankly, a weed. Spurge is a weed that we have here in Pensacola. I'm not sure what's happening here, except that if you're planting blueberries, blueberries like to have a companion plant, a pollinator, if you will. So this may be, I may be misinterpreting the question. You may have one plant doing one thing, one plant doing the other. They're both blueberry plants. Just let them go.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to do some pruning or whatever, do that. But
yeah, I think they're asking whether they should separate them now or wait till spring.
Well, if you want to separate blueberries, do it now. Do it now. Yes, that's what I would do. But the spurge is an interesting text. I'm not sure where that's going.
Okay. Yeah. All right. We got to take a quick break. Well, this is The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. If you got a question or comment, please feel free to text it in this morning, 850-437-1620. This is Pep Talk and The Garden Line. This is Pep Talk and The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. Texts are rolling in at 850-437-1620 with your gardening questions and comments. Here's another one, Mike. I keep my hibiscus in a pot next to my house. The leaves and pots stay warm from the warmth of the house. Everything else goes in the garage. And it has a picture of all the plants, potted plants in the garage. I love it.
Absolutely. Well,
I've never heard that about being next to the house.
Oh,
that's interesting.
You know, well, we have tried to talk a little bit about that on The Garden Line before, insofar as putting a plant next to the house is simple, but you can put a name to it. It's called a microclimate.
Oh.
Remember, if you take, say, the hibiscus and plant it next to a driveway, the street, the house, and believe it or not, the swimming pool.
Really?
All of those put all out heat.
Sure.
And that microclimate, it doesn't totally solve the problem if we get really, really cold, especially on that hibiscus.
Mm-hmm.
However, if you plan ahead as part of our planning, that microclimate philosophy might just save some of your plants, because next to the house is a great way to do it. You know, you can't plant all your plants next to the house, but your tropicals like that, it's worth a try. And I hope not only is it next to the house, but it's got a southerly exposure as opposed to a northerly exposure, where it gets that north wind coming in, where it is a little cooler.
It's protected in a way.
Protected in a way, exactly. Even, you don't want to put a hibiscus, for example, underneath an oak tree. But if you put it kind of on the edge, the heat from the turf is going to help also. So there are all kind of ways to have a microclimate, but you need to kind of think where you're going to plant some of these plants that are susceptible to bad weather.
Mm-hmm. No, that's great advice. And yeah. It's interesting, all these little things, these are all the little things that nobody tells you. That's why I love this show.
Nobody ever told you to plant your hibiscus next to the swimming pool.
Yes. So who knew?
I'm
listening to the Garden Line because every week I learn something new. I'm so grateful for you, Mike.
I'm grateful for you.
All right, we got another half hour of Mike Wiggins in the Garden Line coming up. If you've got a question, 850-437-1620. We would love to hear from you this morning. In the meantime, we're going to check in with news, and we'll be back in just a few minutes on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable, pep talk, and the Garden Line. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg, and it is Tuesday morning, and this means it's time for the Garden Line with our host, Mike Wiggins. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, Meg. Good morning.
We've got so many great texts coming in, so we're going to try to get to them all, if you're good with that.
And before we go any further, I just want to say how much we appreciate those texts.
Yes. I mean, it's wonderful.
I can sit here and talk all day long, but it's so much fun to hear what is on folks' mind.
Absolutely.
We appreciate it. We really do.
Okay, well, here's somebody's coming right back at you. It says, Mike, love your show. And says, born and raised here, and the neighbor that I grew up with next to had beautiful grass with no weeds. I believe it was centipede. He would burn with a torch every winter. What are the advantages and disadvantages about burning grass? Have you heard of this procedure? Is it an alternative to chemicals? So let me understand this. The person takes a torch and torches the whole yard?
Absolutely. Burns it. Absolutely.
Wow.
No, I have heard about it. I've never done it. And
okay.
I haven't, and my business have never recommended it. I've always thought that you could make a little mistake doing that and burn down the garage.
Or the house.
Burn down the house. However, I think up north, mm-hmm. that may be something that is done obviously more frequently.
Can you explain what the theory is behind that,
work? I think the theory is to kill the weeds, kill everything, don't kill the roots, and let it just come out of dormancy in the spring. But I hate to say this, I would not recommend it because I really, really have never, one, I've never done it myself. I've never known anybody who did do it. I've just read about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be so concerned that you'd kill everything you have insofar as the lawn is concerned. So I would not recommend that. But isn't that interesting that the neighbor had this beautiful lawn and he burned it every year?
Yes, that is interesting.
Yeah, and some people will, if you're after weeds, I've read lately there's some folks that will burn weeds, your broadleaf weeds in your yard. Say you've got dollar grass.
Right.
You've got this little hand torch,
mm-hmm.
and you go right at it.
Huh.
And that will kill it. So I just am scared to recommend that, but it is interesting. I would love to hear from anybody who has done it themselves.
Yeah, that would be.
And see how it worked out for them.
Text in this morning, 850-437-1620. 850-437-1620.
It's a little scary.
I just suddenly have this image of all the Pensacolians out there burning. What's going on? Well, Mike Wiggins on the Garden Show said, burn your yard.
Mike said, burn it. Yeah, I'll just pour a little gasoline on it.
Burn, baby, burn.
No, no, no.
Okay, and moving on. We have another text that came in. Kim had another question for you, Mike. It says, I have a hydrangea in a pot from the store that's still green. Two questions, please. One, plant it now or wait? And two, some of the seemingly healthy green leaves are falling off. What's the problem?
Yeah, I think that's common this time of year. That's the way it's going to be. If it's in a pot and it's healthy, I would go ahead and plant it. However, sometimes when you've got a plant like that that's very healthy, you may want to wait since we're so close to March and April, kind of stay with the status quo and then go ahead and plant it then in early spring. Don't wait till August. Early spring, April would be a good time. Go ahead and get it in the ground then. I think that would be the safe, prudent way to do it. Absolutely.
Okay, great questions coming in. Also, let's see, Paul with Blue Sky Landscaping is chiming in on the burning issue.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear what Paul has,
if his
services include that.
He says, hire a professional before burning your yard. LOL. and maybe have the fire department standing by. I don't know.
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so that's all the text so far. If you have a question for Mike, 850-437-1620. If you just joined the show, we've been talking this morning about the change in weather. It's gotten colder again. And so any tips or advice that's on your list? Mike is the best prepper. He comes in with a whole list of things to talk about. So
I'm a list maker anyway.
Yes, I love it.
I make lists of lists.
Lists of lists. I love that.
Exactly.
I love it.
No, let's finish a little bit of the rose conversation.
Yes.
Because that's very,
the knockout
very
roses.
Timely. We talked about the knockout, but if you're going to buy some traditional roses, a couple things. One, roses are graded. Like number one, number one and a half, number two, by only a number one. That ensures that the canes are big enough. All the canes are at least bigger than a pencil.
By the cane, you mean the stem?
Yes.
The stem? Okay.
Exactly. So be sure that you get a number one. Back in the day, I think when people weren't quite as aware, a lot of your, I'll say big box stores, maybe some of those aren't even around anymore, would sell roses wrapped in sawdust with plastic wrapped around them. And they would dry out so fast, and people just wouldn't have a lot of success with them. Nowadays, I would find a supplier like Pensacola Seed and Garden, Bailey's, Werner's, those type of people, and see if you can find roses that they have potted up in good soil and that are real good and healthy in a container. Then you can go home and you can plant it. But be careful to get the right grade of rose, number one. And most roses, when you buy them nowadays, have a little tag on them that will tell you this is a number one and a half, what have you. Well, go ahead.
I got another text about roses.
Oh, good. Good.
Did you want to finish that thought?
Oh, yeah. Let me wrap this up real quick.
Okay, sure.
California grown. I really like to have sold over the years California-grown roses. Jackson and Perkins were great. Weeks roses were good. Some of those were Texas roses, but they did good also. But I really, really liked California-grown roses. So get those roses that have been potted up in a pot, and you're off to a better start than just buying a low-grade rose that's, say, wrapped in sawdust.
Okay. We were talking earlier about knockout roses not really having much fragrance. So someone just texted in, is there anything I can do to enhance the fragrance of my roses?
No. No, I don't believe there is.
So it's all up to what type it is?
Exactly. Just before the show, I guess it was last week, I was looking up roses to see what the internet has to say, because Jackson and Perkins roses, which were the kind of the Cadillac of roses, supposedly were having business problems, like we talked about earlier.
Right.
You know, reacting to the knockouts and that type of thing. But on their website, it has beautiful roses, and many of them will say beautiful fragrance.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, buy, research it, and research a rose that has a nice fragrance to it. So that's the
but
way
there's
it's
not
it.
Really anything you
there's
can
nothing,
do.
There's nothing you can do
okay.
to make it do that. However, you can research it and find the name of a rose that has a pleasant fragrance.
Okay. Great questions coming in this morning on the Garden Line. You still have time to text in at 850-437-1620. Mike Wiggins is our expert, and we will be back with Pep Talk in just a couple minutes right after the break. Welcome back to the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins on Pep Talk. And if you have a question or comment, 850-437-1620. Neil is on the line with a question. Good morning, Neil.
What do you say, Neil?
Are you there? Oh, hang on. Are you there, Neil? Can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
There he is. So you said you had a question for Mike this morning. You're on the air.
Right. Okay. When is the best time to treat weeds in a St. Augustine centipede mixed yard?
We are just about to get to that time of the year to do that, Neil. I always like to go for mid-February. Now, if you're going to do weed killing in your yard, you may say that's much too early. I mean, it's still cold and winter. But if you're going to keep the weed population down in your yard, you need to get the pre-emergence. Pre-emergence, of course, means to get the weed before it emerges. Get that pre-emergence chemical on your grass. Now, but here's the deal. And Meg, I know this sounds like a broken record, because we've said this 1,000 times. But you can put that weed killer on your lawn mid-February, and you can use a weed and feed product. But don't do that. Don't do that. Buy some liquid atrazine and spray your yard in mid-February and use the fertilizing later, April, even May, if you will. So you need to separate those two. But if you're dealing with weeds and you've really had a problem with them, use atrazine. That's a great pre-emergence chemical. There's some other ones, but that's a good one. And I like to use a liquid. It's a little more trouble. You've got to mix it up, put it in a sprayer, spray the area. But that's what you need to do. I would shoot for February 15th. Now, you don't have to quit work and come home and spray for the weeds. But in that time frame, Neil, that's when I would do it.
All right. Great question, right, sir.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, sir. Have a great
thank
day.
You.
Appreciate you listening.
Thanks, Neil.
To
appreciate
your
calling.
Garden Line. Okay. So 850-437-1620, many more texts coming in here. So when should I use this is from Marcus, one of our listeners. When should I use pre-emergence if I planted ryegrass this winter?
Well, I would almost say don't. Don't. Of course, we never want to plant ryegrass after we have put the pre-emergence on. But I think what you might find is the pre-emergence chemicals could easily damage your ryegrass. Now, the ryegrass is going to go away on its own mid-spring, if you will. And at that point in time, if the weather cooperates, you could probably use some pre-emergence then. But I certainly wouldn't go out mid-February and spray my ryegrass with a pre-emergence. I think that would probably damage the ryegrass, which really would, that's why you planted the ryegrass, was to, you know, to have a nice green lawn until your lawn came back from dormancy in the mid to late spring. So you may want to stay away from it, but I would say as you get into maybe late March, early April, if you want to put it on there, realizing you may damage some of your ryegrass that's still there, you could probably do it. But you're going to, by then, many of the weeds have come up. And so it's the pre-emergence is not going to do you much good.
Okay, great question.
That's a tough question because a lot of people want to use pre-emergence and put out ryegrass. Mm. And they just, because if you put out your pre-emergence and then put ryegrass out, the pre-emergence is going to keep weeds from coming up. It's also going to keep ryegrass from coming up.
It's confusing.
It's confusing. So really, I would do one or the other.
Okay, great questions coming in this morning, 850-437-1620. You can text right into the Garden Line. Big thanks, Mark, from Marcus, who just asked.
Hey, boy, Marcus, thank you. Thanks for calling us.
Yep. And then we have Deborah, who just said, she's got a different kind of question. She said, or actually a comment, I purchased 3 1-gallon red and yellow milkweed from one of our big box stores last June. Good. I just learned that in June, the University of Florida has deemed these tropical milkweeds as invasive to Florida and harmful to the monarch butterfly, causing their wings to be deformed. Thought I would let you and your listeners know.
Well, you know, that is valuable information.
Yeah.
Because that really kind of goes against what a lot of folks think milkweed is going to do. That it's going to help.
Right.
The butterfly population. And when the state of Florida labels a plant invasive, we need to pay attention to it.
Okay.
And simply not plant it.
Thank you for sharing that with us,
Deborah.
Thank
you very
much.
Really
appreciate it.
That is great stuff.
And what is the place you always talk about, the Extension office? You always mention that as a place for resources and information.
Exactly. That's the Escambia County Extension Service, mm-hmm. which is out on Stefani Road, which is a road off 9 Mile Road to the north. Call them. They have numbers on the internet. Talk to Beth Bowles, who is our county agent, but there are also some great other folks up there that can answer your question. keep in mind, that's where the master gardeners train and get their certificates.
Really?
From the
Escambia County. Realize that.
Oh, yeah, from the Escambia County Extension Service. And the Extension Service is plugged in to the IFAS network.
And what does IFAS stand for?
IFAS is Institute of Food and Agricultural
Science.
I like it. That's good. Science.
Close enough. Good.
But it's part of the University of Florida.
Uh-huh.
And they know it all. And so the Extension Service is plugged in to them. So, yes, if you have questions like that of what's invasive, what's not, these are great people to call.
Okay. And if you're one of the just listening in for the first time, or maybe you've listened for a few shows, the Garden Line is here every Tuesday from 9 to 10 with Mike Wiggins. And what's kind of nice is we take this broadcast and we turn it into a podcast. And so you can go right online to newsradio923.com, click on the podcast page, and go under the Garden Line, and you can see every episode that Mike has ever done. So you can scroll back through and listen and take notes. And it's really a great resource and library.
Well, thank you for saying that, Meg. We enjoy being there, and hopefully it'll help some folks.
Absolutely.
We appreciate that.
All right, Paul's chiming in this morning with another bit of advice, and we're back to the roses again. He says, this is interesting, banana peels are a great natural rose fertilizer.
Help me here, Paul. I think, okay, this is getting into science. Stop my strong suit. That may be adding potassium.
Sure, that makes sense.
To the soil.
Natural. It's natural.
Natural.
Yeah.
Natural. Exactly.
That makes perfect sense.
Perfect sense. Very good.
Okay.
You know, there really are a lot of those, I call them kind of old-time remedies that many of our predecessors used.
Well, these are things that need to be passed down.
I was going to say, but you know what? In many cases, they were right.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And they used what they had.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a great example of that. No question.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. This is The Garden Line, 850-437-1620. We'll be back in a minute. Welcome back to The Garden Line on Pep Talk. Mike Wiggins is here. Got a few more pointers for us today,
Well,
Mike?
What I was going to do, and we talked about some of this last week, I'm just going to do a little lightning round here.
I love it.
Of things to do in the wintertime.
Perfect.
Okay, and we've talked about some of these, but I'll hit it real quick. Plan, draw out what you want to do. If you want to change your landscaping, you may want to change everything or maybe just a few plants. But do your planning. Do a soil test. Let's find out exactly if you need lime or not on your St. Augustine grass. Centipede, you don't need to worry about that. No big deal. Prepare your flower beds for your spring annuals. A little bit of peat moss. A little bit of organic material. Turn it all under. Get all those weeds out of there. So get that flower bed ready because it'll be here before you know it. Remember this one? Sharpen your lawnmower blade.
Yes. Yeah. We had a whole discussion about that.
I know. But you know, Meg, if you have a dull lawnmower blade, it will rag off the top of that blade, and here comes the fungus.
Right.
Yeah, we laughed at that one. That's right. Rake the lawn. Get the leaves off the lawn. You don't want to leave those on there.
So those aren't good mulch?
No.
Okay.
Work on your sprinkler system. Be sure that it's in order. You know, be sure you hadn't had any cold damage. I don't think you've had any yet. Prune the roses on what's our date for pruning roses? Valentine's Day.
That's right. I knew I was going to say February 15th. That was close.
Very good.
February 14th.
Very
Valentine's
good.
Day. Yes,
exactly.
Sir.
We're going to do something. And we'll talk about some pruning next week. Plant your deciduous trees, your shade trees. And once again, that goes all the way back to planning. Where do you want to plant some of those tall growing trees? Considering how big they're going to get in 10, 15 years. Ryegrass, it's not too late. You can put ryegrass out probably this weekend, get a little rain, and it will start coming up. So you could absolutely do that. Pruning crepe myrtles, get ready. It's time to do that.
Oh, boy. All right, we have lots to talk about coming up next week, and we will be back same time from 9 to 10 on the Garden Line right here on Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. Thank you, Mike. It's always informative and fun.
Meg, you're the best. Thank you.
No, you're the best.
No.